Yeah. All right, Tavosa, good morning. First of all, a tremendous Yashikach to Rabbi Zalman Nissel for the donuts this morning. Yashikach. Rabbi Nissel, is it for any particular purpose? Wow. Zalman's been on the Daf Yomi wagon for 100 days. Baruch Hashem. Shekoyach. In Yerza Hashem, we should be Zocha to be Messiah Shas together. Halavai in a rebuilt Yerushalayim Bekarov. Shekoyach. Yeah, that's right. Jose, our shir this morning is sponsored by Natan and Leah Berry in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Leah's father, Eliezer Avram Tzvi ben Pesach Yaleib. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torahs and Shem will have an aliyah. So Jose, we're going to pick up, I'm not sure exactly where Yehuda left off, we're going to pick up, where? Alright, we're going to pick up, if it's okay today, only because it's a longer daf, we're going to pick up on Pei Beis Amud Aleph right by the two dots. So I'm going to give you a little bit of back homework. But it's okay, you're going to be all right. I trust you guys. So let's pick up at the two dots today. So Asara Takanos Tikein Ezra. So we'll say we're on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down from the top. So Asara Takanos Tikein Ezra. So we'll say Ezra is actually a mamish, a magnificent, magnificent daf today. So Ezra went ahead and was metaking 10 different takanos. 10 enactments. What are they? Number one, so the Gemara says, Shekorim b'mincha b'Shabbos. Number one, that we read the Torah by we lay on mincha and Shabbos. V'korin b'sheni b'chamishi. We go ahead and we lay in on Mondays and Thursdays. V'donin b'sheni b'chamishi. And we go ahead and Beis Din is supposed to be in session on Mondays and Thursdays. U'machnisim, u'mechabsim b'chamishi b'Shabbos. And we launder clothing on Erev Shabbos. Rashi says over here, it's the last white line on the top of Rashi Mechabsin, Big Dim LeKavod Shabbos. Laundering takes place on Thursday, out of Kavod for Shabbos. So the Gemara goes, Vayter Va'ochlin Shum Be'Erev Shabbos, we eat garlic on Erev Shabbos, and we're going to go through all of these things. V'shetehe Isha Mashkemes Va'ofe, and a woman should get up early and bake. Now, when is this talking about? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, it's the first short line. On any day that a woman has to bake, she should go ahead, va'ofa shachris. She should go ahead and she should get up early to bake. So we'll say this is not a din related necessarily to Friday or to Thursday or to Erev Shabbos. This is any day that a woman is going to bake. She should make sure to bake early in the day. And Rashi already points out, he gives away a little bit. It's so beautiful. Like, we can't wait. Well, so the idea is that bread should be readily available for any ani, for any pauper who needs. We'll expound upon that in a little bit. And furthermore, Ezra is metaking that a woman should go out and wear a sinar. Rashi says, Dugmas michnasayim ketanim. The takana was that a woman should wear undergarments. We'll discuss this as well. That a woman should do a chafifa before she goes to the mikvah. So what's a chafifa? Look at Rashi. Ha'isha chofefes b'misarek b'yom tvilasa mishum chatzitza. So we'll say chafifa is the process. Now chafifa, as we know it today, is a little bit more involved. What the Gemara is referring to over here is that before a woman goes to the mikvah, she should comb out her hair. She should comb out her hair. And Rashi points out over here, mishum chatzitza, in order to make sure that there's nothing that would interpose between her hair and the water of the mikvah. Ushihu ruchlin machzirin ba'yaros. And Ezra also instituted, was metakin, that spice merchants should make their way around the cities. This is actually very interesting. Rashi says over here, ruchlin mevim besamim lenashim liskashet bohem. So these ruchlin, these salesmen, these are door-to-door salesmen. Ezra is metakin that people should allow the door-to-door salesmen into the cities. In other words, that the Havamino is that people would have legislated against the entry of these door-to-door salesmen because no one likes having the peddlers knock on their door all the time. Ezra's metaking that no, they should be allowed to come into the city. Furthermore, v'tikin tefila leba'alei karyon. And Ezra's metaking a tefila, a need for an immersion in the mikvah for ba'alei karyon. So a man who had a seminal emission, Ezra was metaking that before doing something. Now we'll discuss what the something is. Is it learning? Is it davening? Is it kriyashma? What is it exactly? Ezra's metaking immersion in the mikvah for any matter of a seminal emission. So now we're going to go through each of these things. Shiukorin b'mincha b'Shabbos mishum yoshrei kranas. They both say this is very interesting. Ezra's metaking that you should read the Torah on Shabbos afternoon. You should learn Shabbos afternoon. Why yoshrei kranas? They both say now normally yoshrei kranas has a negative connotation. Right? Yoshrei kranas usually means people who sit out, sit in the corners and just our idol. Here, it's not the context. Look at Rashi. Rashi means Shum Yoshe Kronos, Yoshe Chanuyos. Rashi understands over here that Yoshe Kronos actually refers to peddlers, to people who have stores. So what happens? Yoshe Chanuyos Koimos Achol Oskin Beschora Veinkar B'Shenem Vechamishi Talk Tikun Beginaihu Kriya Yisera. Supposed to listen to this. So there are the store operators who are busy the whole week selling their wares. So therefore, here's what's interesting. You see, Ezra is metaken, going ahead and laning Mondays and Thursdays. Why? Because Mondays and Thursdays were normally the Yom HaKnisa, the Yom HaShuk. So people anywhere in the larger cities often had shuls, often had binyanim. So therefore, even if somebody lived in an outlying village, let's say they didn't have a minyan on Shabbos, they say Mondays and Thursdays they have. That works fine if what? If what? If you're the customer. It doesn't work fine if you are the store proprietor, because then that means Mondays and Thursdays were often your busiest times. So therefore, Ezra, in order to go ahead and make sure that the shopkeepers didn't lose out, again, they weren't necessarily going to get Mondays and Thursdays, but that they shouldn't go at Laman Igara, why should they lose out on all of the supplemental krios? Ezra's metaking another kriya on Shabbos afternoon just to the shopkeepers. We'll say, just as an aside, by the way, do you want to know what Ezra personifies the most beautiful essence of leadership? What does leadership mean? Leadership isn't the greatest Talmud Chacham. I mean, Ezra happened to have been the greatest Talmud Chacham. Leadership doesn't mean the greatest orator. Leadership means the person who Mamish thinks about every Yid, who thinks about every Jew. That's what it means to be a leader, that you care for the flock, and not just the flock that keeps up like you, and not just the flock that looks like you, not just the flock that believes like you, but the entire flock. So here Ezra, again, who has to balance the needs of all of Klal Yisrael, realizes that he was attacking something that worked great for a lot of people, but didn't work for others. So you could say, it works for the majority. Majority is good enough. That wasn't Ezra. Ezra needed to make sure that even those who missed out on the Kriya Mondays and Thursdays had the opportunity to get something additional in their week. Absolutely amazing. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'shu korin b'sheni b'chamishi. So what about Mondays and Thursdays? So Ezra tike, is that true that Ezra is metake in reading of Torah on Mondays and Thursdays? V'hameikara hava metakna. It's not true. This is actually on the books earlier. This sanya. Boss said, listen to how beautiful this is. Amazing. This sanya. V'yelchu shloshes yamim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. So we'll say, listen, this is mamish. This is even better than the donuts. So listen to this. Vayelchu, Rabbi Nissel, they're wonderful. I don't want you to think I wasn't even pogim in the covet of the donuts. Vayelchu shlosh tzom amimbar lo matzu mayim. But the Klal Yisrael walked for 3 days in the desert and they couldn't find water. Dorshe rishumos omrus. It's actually an interesting lashon here. Dorshe rishumos rashis mikros. Those who darshin psukim. Chazal said, listen to this, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. When it says that Klal Yisrael, Vayelchu Bamidbar Shloshes, Vayelchu Shloshes Bamidbar Lo Matzu Mayim, Klal Yisrael went 3 days and they didn't have water. But we'll say not water of the guf, water of the soul. And what's the water of the soul? What quenches the thirst? What brings? What? Torah. Torah, to go 3 days without Torah, Lo Matzu Mayim, Shene Emar, Hai called Sami Luchula Mayim, whoever who is thirsty. The Navi Yeshayahu says, whoever is thirsty, come and drink water. And Abba said, the Navi there is referring ultimately again, Lorav lolechem velotzama lamayim kiim lishmoa es divrei Hashem. Bless you. Who is thirsty, come and drink the waters of Torah. Kevan shalchu shloshes yamim belo Torah. So we'll say, ultimately, when they went 3 days without Torah, so nilu. So we'll say, they were compromised. Nilu, they were compromised, meaning they were dehydrated. They were spiritually dehydrated. To go 3 days without Torah, what is going to be? Amdu Neviim Shebenehem, Vitiknu Lahem Shikorin Bishabis. So we'll say, therefore the Neviim got up. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So there was this episode. There was a period for whatever the reason, 3 days they went without Torah. So Chazal, so what happened? The leadership realized that there's a problem. There's a problem. To go 3 days without Torah, compromise. Truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, to go 1 day without Torah compromises the Jew, but to go 3 days, Mamish becomes an emergent situation. So what did the Nevi'im Rishonim do? Teknu lahem shikorim b'Shabbos. So they instituted that we read, that we lay on Shabbos. U'mafsikin be'echad b'Shabbos. And then we don't on, now we'll say, I want to be clear, this is talking about communal learning. The concept of Kriyas HaTorah is an institution in communal Talmud Torah. So obviously, the Gemara is now suggesting over here, you learn on Shabbos, you know what? takes Sunday off, right? Mafsikim Be'achad B'Shabbos. It's something on a communal level. So on a communal level, they instituted that there should be Torah learning every 3 days. So we learn. So therefore, there's Torah learning on Shabbos. There's leaning on Shabbos. Mafsikim Be'achad B'Shabbos. They wouldn't do anything on Sunday. The Koran B'Sheni, they would lean again on Monday. Umafsikim Shlishi Revi, and they'd stop on Tuesday, Wednesday. The Koran B'Chamishi, and they went ahead and they instituted it on Thursday. Umafsikim Erev Shabbos. And there's nothing on Erev Shabbos. Kidei Shelo Yalinu Gimel Yomim below Torah. And I will say the Nevi'im Rishonim instituted this in order that the community of Klal Yisrael should never go more than 3 days without Torah. So it should be, the individual needs Torah. See, so you have to understand something. The collective is always stronger than the individual. So the collective can't go 3 days without Torah. The individual can't go 1 day without Torah. So the Nevi'im Rishonim again instituted that there should be communal learning every 3 days. So what's the pshat? So here the Gemara is giving Ezra credit for this institution, but yet again, we see over here that it wasn't Ezra, it wasn't the Nevi'im Rishonim. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, oh, Meikara Tiknu Chad Gavra Tlasa Psuke. So we'll say, the original institution was that you'd have one person who read three psukim. That was the entirety of communal Talmud Torah. One person, three psukim. Oh, Inami, Tlasa Gavri, Tlasa Psuke. Or the other pasuk was three people, three psukim. I will say not three psukim each, three people, one pasuk each. Keneged Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim. Right, it was like corresponding to the Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim. Asahu, Ezra came along and tikin Tlasa Gavri Vasar psukim. So we'll say Ezra bolstered it. He put up a little bit more meat on the bones. And Ezra instituted that it should be 10 psukim read by three people. Why 10 psukim? Kineged Asara Batlonim. I will say to Harsat, now don't say, hey, I know those guys, right? The Asara Batlonim. I will say Asara Batlonim is actually a compliment. The Asara Batlonim was every major city had 10 people who devoted themselves ultimately again to tefillah and to Talmud Torah. I will say, interesting, this wasn't just Stama Kolel. This is actually interesting. These guys, their primary responsibility was to make sure that there was always a minyan in the Beis HaKnesses. So they're called Batlonim because the community essentially supported them and they were exempt from having another occupation. So meaning, the normal obligation is everybody has to have a job. Everybody has to have an occupation. That's the normative obligation. You have an exemption, you have a patur if you are serving some type of higher communal purpose. So these Asara Batlonim, ultimately their job was to make sure, again, that there was a minyan in the shul. Their job was to make sure there was a constant kol Torah. So therefore, Ezra went ahead. So the original, this is amazing, the original institution of every single 3 days, of not going more than 3 days without communal Talmud Torah, that was the Nevi'im Rishonim, the early Nevi'im, and it seems to be really, really early, even in times of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nevi'im Rishonim. Ezra then went ahead and put a little bit more meat on the bones, three aliyos, three people, total of 10 psukim. V'donim b'sheni v'chamishi. So we'll say Ezra also instituted that the batei din should remain open on Mondays and Thursdays. D'shchichi d'asu l'mikra b'sifra. And this is interesting. So now all of this becomes interconnected. So since now you have the institution of communal Talmud Torah on Mondays and Thursdays, that means people were coming into the city to the shuls on Mondays and Thursdays. But say in addition to that, the underlying piece over here is what? What else is Mondays and Thursdays? Like we said before, market days. So essentially what you have is everybody converging, both for Talmud Torah, as well as ultimately, again, for commerce. Therefore, Ezra said, you know what? It's also time to go ahead and make sure that the batei din are open to adjudicate cases. V'shem mechabsin v'chamishi b'shabbos, and Ezra instituted that people should do their laundry on Erev Shabbos, mishum kavod Shabbos. Ultimately, again, out of respect and honor to Shabbos. Also, by the way, it's interesting. So you ask yourself, well, if it's Mishum Kavod Shabbos, then what? Why not do it Friday? Right, they will say, by the way, an incredible, incredible yisod. You know, Rav Soloveitchik writes about this in Alachu. The Rav says that one of the things that he misses most from his youth, he said, in America, there are many Shomrei Shabbos. He says, but you know what's missing in America? He says, there are no Shomrei Erev Shabbos. He says, I remember in my youth as a boy, as a child, that already come Thursday night, there was an aura of Shabbos that already descended. That Friday, again, had a Kiddusha as well. So the Rav says, we have many Shomer Shabbos. We'll say, so again, the Shomer Shabbos, though, again, being Shomer Shabbos also includes utilizing the 18 minutes, right, after candlelight. So you know that those 18 minutes are a huge, huge, huge bidi evet. people make a big deal about a chatzos, ladies. The truth is also the goal of Erev Shabbos is to be ready with Shabbos Benachas, is to be ready a couple of hours beforehand. This is true again in the winter, this is true in the summer. It's all about arranging your life in a certain way. If Shabbos is a priority and going into Shabbos Benachas is a priority, then you structure your week accordingly. Anything that's important, it's important enough to get to the Orioles game, and nobody gets to the fourth inning. Yeah, it's important enough to get there on time, I get there on time. So the Maase again, if going into Shabbos is important enough, then a person, not just to be a Shomer Shabbos, but to be a Shomer Erev Shabbos. That's what Ezra was trying to institute over here. That's it, you gotta do your laundry. Don't do your laundry on Friday. I mean, you can do laundry. I'm not talking now. He's talking about going down to the river as a much bigger avodah. Do it Erev Shabbos. Do it Thursday so that ultimately, again, a person is able to walk into Shabbos benachos. Incredible yisod. V'shei ochlin shum be'erev Shabbos. So we're saying why, as instituted, that a man should eat garlic. Birds should eat garlic on Erev Shabbos. Why should a person eat garlic on Erev Shabbos? Mishum ona. Because on Shabbos we're going to discuss the idea that there's a special mitzvah of ona, special mitzvah of intimacy with one's wife. So Rashi says over here, Mishum ona, Shamitzvas ona b'leil Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of ona. There's a mitzvah to be intimate with one's wife on Shabbos night. Kidrav Yehuda. Vashum marbe es hazera. And apparently, again, so marbe es hazera literally means it increases the semen. But what it sounds like is that it's, I don't know what the right word is, it's not an aphrodisiac, but... I was actually Dafka trying to avoid that, right? But okay, fine. I'm not going to say, you understand, I have our scroll. So it says the Gemara. So, Dichsev, Asher Pirio Yitain Vito. Because also the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Tilim says, Asher Pirio Yitain Vito, that again, whose fruits will be delivered in its time. So remember, this is the Pasuk from Tehillim, where David HaMelech in the first chapter, again, that describing the righteous person as Shapiro Yitain Beito, whose fruit is given on the right time. So this refers to someone who has relations every Friday night. Remember we learned in Ksuvis that there's a mitzvah of ona, which means a mitzvah to be intimate with one's wife. The frequency of that mitzvah depends on what? Depends on occupation. Right, depends on work, what you do for a living. Because depending on what you do for a living and the physical toll that takes on you, so ultimately that determines the level of frequency of intimacy. What he's referring to over here is the ona of a Talmud Chacham. So the ona of a Talmud Chacham is every Friday night. So the Gemara there discusses that if a man wants to conduct himself like a Talmud Chacham, he has the ability to do so. So Asher Pirio Yitain Beito, he gives forth his fruit in the right time. So the Gemara understands this to be an allusion to someone who fulfills the mitzvah of Ona every Friday night. Tan Rabbanan, Chamisha Dvarim Ne'emru B'Shum. There are five things that are said about garlic. Masbia, it satiates. Mashrin. Rashi says, Mechaim is a goof, it warms the body. Matzil panim, apparently it gives like a glowing radiance, a glowing countenance. Umar bahazera, it increases the semen. Vahori kinim shibne me'ayim, and it kills parasites in the intestines. Ve'ish omrim, machnis ahava umotzi es akina. This is interesting, I was saying. And apparently, again, the power of garlic is, it brings in the love, and it takes out the jealousy. So I'll say, what's the upshot with this last one? Right? That garlic is the secret to being filled with love and not being filled with jealousy. I'll say, it's a very simple pshat. Understand that if a person has all of these things, so think about this, a person ultimately again is satiated. And again, satiated means in a physical way, in an emotional way. A person again, mar bezera, a person has good shalom bayis with his wife. So what happens? Then ultimately again, a person is a loving person and takes away the jealousy. In other words, what Chazal are trying to say is the following. We'll say, cloud gadol in life, when people are unhappy individuals, there's generally something wrong in their life. Most people are good. People are really good. Even difficult people are good. Just difficult people are usually angry or upset about something else. And they're choosing often to project it or to emote in different destructive or non-constructive ways. So the Gemara is saying over here is if a person is happy in life, a person has good shalom bayis, a person feels satiated, a person is sameach bechelko, a person has everything that they need, then ultimately, that's machnis ava, a person will be a very loving person, umotzi es akina, and ultimately, again, will be able to dispense with jealousy. Vishetei isha mashkemes va'ova. A woman should get up, whenever a woman is baking, she should get up early, and she should bake early. Kadeshetei pas mitzuya la'anim. We'll say an incredible yisod. This way, again, if a poor person comes to her door, ultimately, and asks for something, she has the ability to give bread. Bosa, you know, again, the Gemara discussed, we also saw this in Ksuvis, the idea ultimately, again, that if you could give an ani something that if you have a choice between giving the ani food or giving the ani money, assuming the ani needs food, so there's a greater zechus in giving him food because ultimately, again, hana aso mitsuya. He has the ability to benefit and reap. Bosa, another incredible musr. What's the musr? The musr is that sometimes in life when we do things, we only take into account what's most convenient for us. And when you do something, ultimately, again, it's important to take into account how what you can do can benefit others as well. So here the woman is baking. Maybe it's not convenient for her to bake in the morning. Right? Maybe it's more convenient for her to bake in the afternoon or to bake in the evening or to bake later on in the morning. So Ezra said, you know what? If you're baking already, so don't just take care of your own needs, but figure out how to take care of the needs of the other as well. So bake early. That way, if the ani comes to your door, you have the ability to give him something to eat. Incredible. That a woman should wear undergarments, Ezra said. Mishum tzniusa. She will say, it was a din because of tznius. Then because of tznius. But say also understands, even going back to the laundering pieces, where was laundering done? The laundering was often done by the river, right? And the Gemara discusses that a woman would often pull up her skirt a little bit in order so it shouldn't get wet, it shouldn't get dirty. So therefore, again, Ezra instituted, and there are different situations like that, therefore instituted the use of undergarments. A woman should go out and do chafifa, which Rabbi Yosef Rashi defined as combing out her hair. She should comb out her hair before going to the mikvah in order to remove anything that could serve as a chatzitza, as an interposition between herself and the waters of the mikvah. So the Gemara says, one second, doraisihi. That's not Ezra's takan, Rabbi Yosef. Chafifa is a din doraisa, as a biblical obligation. After all, the sanyo, verachot, as b'sara b'mayim. When the Torah says, he shall, now this is referred to in the masculine over here, but the same halacha applies to a woman. Verachot, b'sara b'mayim, he should wash his flesh, which in the water, which Rabbi Yosef refers ultimately again to the mikvah. Shalotehei, we dash in that pasuk that it has to be your flesh that you wash in the water, which says there should be nothing that interrupts between the flesh and the water. So es b'sara b'sara, and remember the word es is always an inclusionary word. So because it could have just said v'rachatz b'sara b'mayim. Why does it have to say v'rachatz es b'sara b'mayim? Es is hatafa l'b'sara. Comes to include what? That which is attached or secondary to the skin. What's attached or secondary to the skin? Umayim nihu? Sear. Refers to hair. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that hair has to be freed from chatzitzos when one goes to the mikvah. So why do you tell me that Ezra instituted this? This was already on the books beforehand. Amri, daraisa li'iyune, dilma mikdar. So we'll say, mid daraisa, all you need to do is what? All you need to do is examine the hair. You don't actually have to run the comb through it. You just have to look through it, or maybe feel it, to make sure there are no chatzitzas, that there are no knots. Mikdar means a knot. Because you also remember, chatzitza is actually very important to halacha. Chatzitza doesn't just mean foreign material. Under normal circumstances, chatzitza does mean foreign material. For hair, even a knot in the hair of a woman is also a chatzitza for mikvah purposes. Inami, mos, midi, mishum chatzitza. Or perhaps there is some foreign object in her hair that ultimately would pose a chatzitza. So we'll say, simidorai, so all you need to do is examine the hair. Amud base, va'asi'ihu tikein chafifa. Well, so Ezra came along and said that what? So just examination is not enough. Rather, what do you have to do? You have to actually comb out the hair. You actually have to comb out the hair. So both say, so that again, and that is halacha l'maisa, that a woman today, before she goes to the mikvah, ultimately again has to go ahead and not just examine her hair, but actually has to comb out her hair to make sure that it is free from any chatzitzos. Takana Ezra. Next. Sheirochlin machzirin b'ayar. So listen to how beautiful this is. And Ezra instituted, that's what? That the rochlin, the spice pub, the perfumers, should be allowed entry into the city. Well, in other words, that people don't like to be bothered. People don't like to be bothered. So what happens? So you'd have a hamina that a city would get together, and the city would say, look, we're not allowing any perfumers, no roaming peddlers in the city. Ezra said you can't ban the perfumers from going door to door. Why? This is amazing. Mishum tachshit einoshim. Because the boss said the women use perfume. Aye, so we want to make sure the women have easy access to perfume. Why? Kedei shelo yisganu al ba'aleihem. Boss said, in order that a woman is attractive to her husband. It's an incredible yisod. Ezra, you see how beautiful this is. Ezra was so concerned with Shalom Bayis. That let the perfumers come. This way the woman should have access to perfume. That way she should be a little bit more attractive to her husband. And when she's more attractive to her husband, only good things come from that. Only greater Shalom Bayis. Therefore, Ezra said that Lamaisa, again, the perfumers are there. Mishum Shalom Bayis. Incredible Yisod. We'll say just, yeah, okay, actually. All right, a lot to say, but we'll go back there. But he came, Tvila Balakari. So we'll say, and Ezra, I'll just tell you this very quickly. I'll say, you know, just along, this reminds you, this roaming merchants, you know, it's come up in the past where people say, you know, you should tell the mishulachim that they shouldn't be able to go around, right? It disturbs people's davening and different things like that. We'll say, so first of all, halavai, we should be on the level that it's the mishulachim that are going ahead and disturbing our davening. I say to anyone who has a problem with the mishulachim, give me your cell phone first during davening, then we can talk about the mishulachim. Well, so just you should know, it just reminds me of this. You know, when the mishulachim come around, just understand, it's the Ribono Shel Olam delivering a mitzvah to your doorstep. You don't even have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. Mamish, I'm here, and they literally just come up to me. I don't even have to extend my hand. They extend their hand to me. It's mamish, like, I don't have to do anything except reach into my wallet and go ahead and fulfill a mitzvah and acquire Olam Haba. It's like Olam Haba at your doorstep. It's an incredible, incredible, because I'm just reminded of this, because of Ezra. Sometimes, you know, again, the Ribono Shel Olam brings things to us, and all we need to do is take advantage of it. So Ezra wanted to make sure that the opportunity for Shalom Bayis is not something that people would have to go out to find, but ultimately it would come right to them. Okay, B'tikein Tvila Balakarion. Ezra is metakein Tvila Mikvah for a Balakari, for a man who has a similar mission. So he wants one second. That's Doraisa. But we'll say, if a man has a similar mission, Midoraisa, he has to go to the Mikvah Dichsiv. Right, the pasuk says if a man will have a seminal emission, he has to go to the mikvah. The right, the Gemara says the right to hula truma uvkachim. So we'll say no. That pasuk is talking about for a truma and kachim. So if you're a kohen and you have a seminal emission and you want to eat your truma, you have to go to the mikvah. Or if you're a kohen and eating kachim, or a yisrael and eating kachim, you have to go to the mikvah before. Before partaking of these items. So we'll say, also who tikin afilu dibrei Torah. We'll say, Takonas Ezra is a very dramatic Takonah. Takonas Ezra is that even before you go ahead and learn Torah, before you, meaning if a man has a similar mission, before learning Torah, he has to go to the mikvah. Which we'll say, by extension, Rashi says, the dibrei Torah, shal yishana ad sheyitbo. Which we'll say, would seem to mean also before davening in the morning, because davening in the morning has elements of Talmud Torah as well. So literally, Ezra made a very sweeping takana, that before having any, after having a seminal mission, well, I want to point out, This is any seminal emission. So this is even, you know, this is like a mutra seminal emission. A man is intimate with his wife. There's a seminal emission. Ezra's metakin. He has to go to the mikvah before learning. Before learning, presumably before davening. So it's a very dramatic takana. So listen, I just want to tell you the important piece of halacha. The Shulchan Aruch, this is in Simen Peches. In Aruch Chaim HaTzvi, he says, Kol HaTmeim, Korin Batorah, the Korin Kriya Shem, Spalin, Chutz Min Bali Keri, Shotzia Ezra Mikol HaTmeim, Va'asru Bein B'divrei Torah, Bein b'kriyashma utfila ad sheyitbo. Shulchan Aruch asking, anyone who's tamei is normally permitted to learn Torah. Most say there's no such thing. Divrei Torah ain't on mekablin tuma. So therefore, again, even if you're tamei, you could learn, you could daven, with the exception of a balkari, because Ezra instituted that a balkari may not learn, may not daven. Now, what was the reason for Ezra's takana? It's interesting. In order that Tamdi Chachamim should not be with their wives like roosters. Apparently, roosters mate frequently. I don't know. I guess you could Google it. But so the idea is that in order that Tamdi Chachamim should think twice about intimacy, I will say it's a din in Kedoshim Tiyu, that just because ultimately something is mutter doesn't mean that one should engage in it all of the time. Therefore, Ezra felt that if you mandate a tvila after a seminal emission, the Talmud Chacham will think twice, ultimately, again, about intimacy. So that was Takanas Ezra. Okay, so we'll say, so what do we do with this today? So look at the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. V'achakach batlu osa takana. Chazal were mevatal. They negated the takana. Without going through how that happened, meaning because we spoke of this on Shavuos, right? That how could a subsequent Beis Din be mevatal the takana of Ezra? So the Mishnah Berurah gives three different approaches as to how you can mevatal takana, either Ezra lar for a bittel, or because it was a gzera shenatzibor yochol la'amod ba. That ultimately, again, it was too overwhelming for a gzera, and any gzera she'en hatzibor yochol la'amod ba, by definition, is bottle. And therefore, ve'hemidu adavra aladin, sha'af ba'al keri muter b'divrei Torah, u'b'kriyah shema, u'b'tvila, b'lo tvila, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins takanas Ezra is batal. However, the Mishnah Berurah does point out that there are still those today that uphold takanas Ezra. So that's why, again, by the Chassidim, you see that again, tevila in the mikvah is a very big thing. Daily tevila in the mikvah. Now, that's not just about takanas Ezra. That's about because in Chassidus the mikvah plays a central tara is very much connected to mikvah, but there's no question that takanas Ezra is part of it. Now, the Mishnah Berurah himself says that even if a person does not go ahead and necessarily adhere to takanas Ezra, nevertheless, says the Mishnah Berurah, it is important after having a seminal emission to wash oneself in what we call tisha kabin. So tisha kabin means 9 kav of water. So just to illustrate this, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the ten kabin is about 15 liters of water. 15 liters of water. In other words, it's what we'd call today a shower. Right? So there's a din after having a seminal emission that a man should have tisha kabin, 15 liters of water. And the Mishnah Berurah just says, again, one doesn't have to take a specific shower for this, meaning this could be one's regular shower. But the only thing Mishnah Berurah says is that at least for 9 kabin, for 15 liters of that, one should just stand with their hands by their sides and allow the water to pour over their body. See, even those who are not makbid on takana, let me be clear, you do not have to be machmir on this, right? The Shulchan Aruch himself says that takanas Ezra was batal. There are those who still want to uphold it, but again, even if one is not going to the mikvah after a seminal emission, swimming the tisha kav and the 15 liters of water, which one could fulfill as a shower, through a shower, ultimately is encouraged. I'm sorry? Mikvah is in the plans. Yes, we do have a mikvah dedication open in the new building as well. Near Tzashem. So I say thank you. Thank you for the reminder. What did you say? Oh, so correct. So therefore, again, so by the Chassidim, for example, who are makbid on mikvah every day, so they go on Shabbos, and by the way, Takanas Ezra was also on Shabbos. And Takanas, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos discusses this by Gzeiras Merchatz. For Takanas Ezra, you could go to the mikvah on Shabbos. Tisha Kabin, though, you would not do on Shabbos. So if a person just normally takes the shower after having some emotion, so for that, you would not do on Shabbos. All right, Tzivaitim. As I told you, it's like amazing, amazing Gemaras. Amazing. It says the Gemara. So we'll say, fine, that's the end of Takanas Ezra. Now watch this. Asar Dram Nem Rabbi Yerushalayim. So we'll listen to this. There were 10 things that were said about Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Number one, we'll say, you know, by the way, Rabbi Nachman says that whenever you learn something about Eretz Yisrael, for the moment you learn about Eretz Yisrael, you're in Eretz Yisrael. That's the beauty of Torah. Torah transports you to a different dimension. So we'll say, so we're about to learn 10 things about Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. So for the next little while, I would say close your eyes, but I want you to see in the Gemara. So for the next little while, we're going to be in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh together. So, Asar Dram Nem Reb Yerushalayim. There are 10 things said about Yerushalayim. Number one, Ein Ba'abayis Cholot Ba. So we'll say number one, we're going to see that a home cannot become Cholot. Now what that means ultimately is that a home cannot be stricken with tzaras. Remember, again, there's a concept of tzaras habatim, so tzaras in the home. Homes in Yerushalayim are not subject to the laws of tzaras, which we'll discuss why. Ve'inam avia egla rufa. Rabbi said there is no egla rufa brought in Yerushalayim. Remember, again, egla rufa means you find the corpse between two cities. We measure the closest city. The elders of the closest city come out, they decapitate the calf, they wash their hands over it, they say, Yedenu l'shachu damzeh, our hands do not spill this blood. Rabbi said, Yerushalayim is not subject to the laws of Egla Arufa. Ve'ein anasis ir nidachas. Rabbi said, it's interesting, if you have a situation, chas v'shalom, of an entire city worshipping Avodah Zarah, the entire city is wiped out. So Yerushalayim is not subject to the laws of ir nidachas. Ve'ein metama b'negoyim. And ultimately, again, Yerushalayim is not subject Alright, we'll see. Ultimately, I'm sorry, I ran out by the way. Chalut does not mean saras. I'm sorry. Chalut, Rabbi says, is referring to the halacha is if you sell homes in a ir choma, if you sell homes in a walled city, the halacha is the seller has 1 year to redeem it. And if the seller doesn't redeem it in the first year, that home forever remains in the hands of the purchaser. And even in the Yovel year, does not revert back to the owner. The sales in Yerushalayim, even though Yerushalayim is a walled city, but sales in Yerushalayim are not subject to that law. Now, Nigam, I'm sorry. Now, Nigam, Yerushalayim is not subject to the laws of Tzaraas. Next, Vein Motzin Bal Zizin V'Gusturos. Was that interesting? You cannot have zizin rabosei are beams, gusturos are balconies. It's actually very interesting. Now, what this sounds like over here is that in Yerushalayim you cannot have overhangs over the public domain. So you can't have balconies or beams that extend out over the public area. Va'in osin ba'ashpasos, you can't make garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Vein osin ba'kivshonos, no kilns in Yerushalayim. Vein osin ba'ganos u'pardesos. Furthermore, you can't make, it's actually amazing, you can't make gardens or orchards in Yerushalayim. Chutz miganos v'radin shahayu mimos nevim harishon. Both with the exception of the rose gardens. So apparently, again, there are rose gardens in Yerushalayim, again, from the time of the early prophets. Those are the only gardens permitted. Okay? Ve'im magadlin batanagolin. And I will say you can't raise chickens. Yerushalayim, so I will say that already we saw, by the way, from our Mishnah, right, that you can't raise chickens. Why? Because remember, again, chickens often bring stuff back from garbage heaps and often bring back shrutzim. And you go to be metame, trumas, or kachim, anything out of Yerushalayim. Ve'im alinim esameis. I will say, important halacha, we do not allow a corpse. We do not allow a corpse to remain overnight in Yerushalayim. Rashi says, "In malina ba sameis, meis ba adam ba osayim kovrim osumer." So we bury the dead immediately in Yerushalayim. We don't allow halana. Ve'ein habayis chol. So now we're going to go through each of these categories. So what are the categories? Number one, ein habayis cholot ba. So remember, the halacha is that if you sell a home in Yerushalayim, so remember that home, so under normal circumstances, if you sell a home in a walled city, you have 1 year to redeem it. If you don't exercise the right of redemption in the first year, then what? Then the halacha is that the home remains with the new owner. So but with the purchaser. I'll say that is not in Yerushalayim. Dechsev, v'kam habayis asher lo choma litzmisus lekona oso ledorosav. So I'll say the pasuk says that if a kambai is shalom chamal tzivus, that the home that is in a walled city will go ahead and be for the one who purchased it, the dorosav, for future generations. The kasavar and the tana over here hold that what alone is chal kushayim l'shvatim. So we'll say here's the problem: when you purchase a home in a walled city and the seller does not exercise the right of redemption in the first year, the purchaser owns that forever. And we'll say that only works in a part of Eretz Yisrael where a person could have ownership. There is no such thing as ownership in Yerushalayim. The only thing you have in Yerushalayim, Rabbi says, is what? Long-term rentals. Now, why is that? Because Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the tribes. So because of that, it belongs to everyone. Therefore, no one person could exercise full ownership over property in Yerushalayim. Rather, again, everyone has a long-term lease. Therefore, again, this halacha of ultimately a walled city does not apply in Yerushalayim. Furthermore, the einam via egla arufa, and I will say next halacha. If something happens, if a corpse is found in close proximity to Yerushalayim, they don't bring it egla arufa. Dechsev ki matzei chala ba'adama, asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha lirishta. I will say when you find the corpse in close proximity to a city, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you lirishta. Lirishta means what? As an inheritance, as yours. Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. I will say same idea. Because Yerushalayim ultimately was not divided up amongst the tribes, therefore the lashon of Yerushta doesn't apply. It's an interesting thing in Yerushalayim. It belongs to everyone, and because it belongs to everyone, therefore what? Therefore, interestingly enough, it belongs to no one. Meaning, no one person or no one tribe could claim ownership over any part of Yerushalayim, because again, it's a Rosh Hasharabim. It belongs to everyone. Next, it cannot become a condemned city. Because we'll say when it comes to Yerani Dachas, the pasuk says your cities, and again same idea. Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the tribes. And Yushraim cannot become tame through negam, through tzaras. Venasati nega tzaras bebeis eretz achuzaschem. That ultimately, again, the pasuk says, I will give a nega tzaras, literally beis eretz achuzaschem, in a home in the land of your achuza. Yushraim is not divided up amongst the tribes. What's another interesting halacha? You may not go ahead and have balconies or beams that extend over the Yushraim in Yushraim. What's this interesting? In order that what? In order that there not be any tumah. So remember, think about this for just a moment. If you have a balcony that overhangs your Yushraim, and there happens to be something tame on the ground over there, and you walk underneath that balcony, then what? You become tame because of Tumas Ohalim. Therefore, Abosai, or Ohalos, I should say, Tumas Ohel. Because Abosai, therefore, again, in order, now remember, why don't you say you can't have balconies everywhere? Because Abosai, in Yerushalayim, we are especially meticulous, ultimately, again, with the laws of Tuma and Tara. Since, again, under these circumstances, Lamaisa, again, we have Oli Regalim, we have a lot of people coming to Yerushalayim, therefore, again, we are exceptionally vigilant. Therefore, again, in Yerushalayim, we can't have the extended beams or balconies in order to avoid Tuma. Mishum, the Lomisku Oli Regalim. Well, furthermore, again, we're nervous that, again, the Oli Regalim will be injured. And I will say, now this actually refers to over here, this is not in a spiritual sense, this is actually in a literal physical sense. If you have a lot of people in Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim was often clogged with people. If there are beams that are extending, that could pose a hazard. Therefore, either because of Tumah, or ultimately, again, because of literally, we don't want the Oli Regalim to be harmed. Either way, Lamaisi, you can't do it in Yerushalayim. Ve'in osin ba'ashpasos, you can't make garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Mishum shkatzin, because also we don't want creepy crawly things in Yerushalayim. Ve'in osin ba'kivshonos, you can't make kilns in Yerushalayim. Why? Mishum kutra, in order to avoid smoke. Ve'in osin ba'ganos u'pardesin, you can't make gardens or orchards. Mishum sircha. But see, that's very interesting. What is sircha? I mean, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Sirchon, asavim roem hagedilim sham, vizarkin osabachot, v'od derech ganos lezablon v'yishirchon. Rabbi says, there are two reasons. Gardens often have to be, what is it called when you pull out the weeds? Weeding. Oh, good, makes sense, right? Right. So gardens often require weeding, and what happens if they pile up, or if you have a large garden, the weeds pile up and it doesn't look nice, right? You have piles of garbage there. Furthermore, gardens often have to be fertilized, and the smell from the fertilizer is unpleasant. So because of these things, no gardens or orchards in Yerushalayim. They eat magalin batanagolin. You can't go ahead and have chickens in Yerushalayim. Mishum kachim. So this we saw, because out of the concern, they'll bring in creepy, crawly things and ultimately convey tumah to kachim. They eat malinin ba'as hameis. And I will say, we do not allow the dead to remain overnight in Yerushalayim. What is that? Gemara. We'll say that's a tradition. So we'll say, we know we have that halacha. That halacha isn't affected today. Specifically, again, within the walls of the old city. Again, incredible akpada to bury immediately. We'll say, by the way, it's very apropos. Remember, we learned the Gemara in Maseches Gittin. How did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai get out of the city to speak with Vespasian? Remember, he pretended he was dead, because even the Bar Yonim, who were not letting anyone out of the city, even they agreed to what? To allow the dead out of the walls. Meaning, this is an ancient tradition already in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, that we do not allow a corpse to remain overnight within the walls of the city. Fine. Beautiful, Rabbi Yosei. Now, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosei, now this is wild. So says the Gemara. In Megalin Chazirin B'chomokum. So we'll say the halacha is that we don't go ahead and raise pigs. We don't raise pigs. Now remember, the Mishnah actually said we don't raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, there is an issue with being a pig farmer, a Jewish pig farmer, anywhere. But now specifically, we're talking about the din in Eretz Yisrael. So why not? Tanur Rabbanon. So we'll say, why not? Where did this come from? So Tanur Rabbanon Kishet Tzaro Beis Chashmonoi Zeh Azeh. But listen to this. So we know the story of Hanukkah. Right? So the story of Hanukkah has a beautiful ending. That's what happens. The Maccabim, the Chashmonaim, were able to overcome the Syrian Greeks. Now, the Chashmonaim did something very interesting afterwards, which was the Chashmonaim were a Kohanic family. And in fact, they were the Kohanim Gedol, right? Matisyo was the Kohen Gadol. When they conquered the Syrian Greeks, the Chashmonaim family occupied two seats of leadership. They were the Kohanim Gedolim and what? The kings. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not they did the right thing. According to the Ramban gives them a shkoyach, they did the right thing because they consolidated leadership. It was turbulent times, they consolidated leadership and provided stability. The Rambam says it was a terrible, terrible mistake. There is purposely a division between kahuna and Malchus. The Chashmonoi made a terrible mistake by taking the Malchus to themselves. Now, whether they did the right thing or the wrong thing, one thing is clear, which is it didn't end well. The Hasmonean monarchy became exceptionally corrupt over time. Again, in Bakshan, they provided stability for close to 400 years. But Lamaisa, again, the Hasmonean monarchy became exceptionally corrupt. So when Yanai, the king, dies, so Yanai has two sons, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Right? So the two sons had a fight about the monarchy. So what happens? Kishetzaru, and we both said, literally they went to war with each other, civil war. Kishetzaru, based Chashmonai, Zalzeh, when the two Hasmonean sons went to war with one another, Hyrcanus mibifnis, so we'll say Hyrcanus was holed up in the city of Yerushalayim, the Aristobulus mibachutz. And Aristobulus was on the outside. Aristobulus laid siege to Yerushalayim. We'll say, can you imagine this? Nebuch. Jew against Jew. Two brothers against each other. We'll say, by the way, it got worse because they each appealed to the Roman emperor, who at this time was a man by the name of Pompey, to go ahead and aid them. And I will say it had disastrous results. It's a terrible story. Ubechol yom, halim shanshlim lahem bekupa dinarin, v'yamalim lahem temidin. I will say, listen to this. You know, when Jews go to war with each other, Jews are still Jews. So listen to this. So remember, Hyrcanus is on the inside. So as the man on the inside, he's responsible for running the Beis HaMikdash. In order to run the Beis HaMikdash, what do you need? You need a carbon tamid, right? You need two tamidin, right? A tamid shal shachar, a tamid shal b'arbayim every single morning. You need a sheep. So what would they do every day? So the Hyrcanus and his guys on the inside would lower down money in a basket to the guys on the outside. The guys on the outside would put in a little sheep. They'd raise it back up, and they'd offer up the carbon tamid. This was happening day after day after day. Amazing. Even when we're doing the wrong thing, it's Mikam Chayisra. What happens? Hayasham Zekin Echad Sheimakir Mechachmas Yivanis. There was an old man there who was skilled, who knew Greek wisdom. It was saying that when they say Greek wisdom, means he knew how to communicate in covert terms. So he knew some coded way to communicate, and he sent the following message: Amar Lahem Kolzman Sha'at Shes Oskin Ba'avoda. Aim Nimsarim Biatrim. So both say he sent a message to Aristobulus and his men on the outside. He said, listen, as long as Hyrcanus and his guys on the inside are offering up the carbon tamid, you will never be able to conquer them. Lemachar, Shoshlu Dinar. So both say, what happened the next day? So the next day, Hyrcanus and his men on the inside lowered down the basket with money, Shoshlu Dinar Mekupa, Vehe'alu Lahem Chazir. Such a tragic story. And what happens? The guys on the outside, Aristobulus and his guys, put the chazer in the basket. So must remember, the guys on the inside, they can't see, they don't realize that it's a chazer in the basket. They're pulling up the chazer. Can you imagine this? They're pulling up a chazer, about to pull it in into the walls of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Not see part of Bechoma. The chazer dug its hoofs into the wall. Vinizdaze eretz yisra arba meos parsa. The pig, the chazer let out a squeal that literally shook eretz yisra for 400 parsa. So Rambam both say, how could it be? How could it be that the animal that represents the paradigm of tumah is about to enter into the walls of Yerushalayim? And not only that, why is it happening? It's happening because Jews are fighting. It's happening because Jews are laying siege to each other. So we'll say, at that moment they said, cursed is the person who raises chazir. So we'll say, this story was the source, ultimately, again, for those who raise chazir in Eretz Yisrael. Cursed is the person who raises chazirim. And cursed is the person who teaches his son Greek wisdom. We'll talk about this more. And in that moment they said, so they said about this moment that they had to bring the Omer from Gonos Tzrifim. This was the name of the place. And they had to bring the Shtei Alechem from Bekas Ein Socher. So what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Say that loch is the following. Under normal circumstances, you are supposed to bring the carbon to Omer and from the Shtei Alechem. The carbon is the barley that is brought ultimately again, that is brought on the second day of Pesach, that allows for the new crop to be consumed. The Shtei Alechem is the special offering of loaves on Yushana. Say the halacha is, you're supposed to bring the Omer, the barley for the Omer, and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem from the closest wheat and barley fields to Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that year they had to bring the Omer, the barley from Gonos Tzifrim, which was far away, and the Shtei Alechem from Bekas in Tzokha, far away. What is that? Why? What does that show you? Because Rabosai, the besieging armies of Aristobulus burnt down all of the wheat and barley fields in close proximity to Yerushalayim HaKodesh. So much destruction, so much want, unnecessary destruction because of infighting Jews. Between Jews, they had to bring the Karban Omer, they had to bring the Shtei Lechem from a faraway place. But Rabosai, this story ultimately serves as the source. After this, Chazal said, you're not allowed to raise Chazirim at all in Eretz Yisrael. Mamish, as a reminder of the deleterious and detrimental impacts when there is sinas chinam, when there is infighting class. I'll say we should be zochem Eretz Hashem as a result, ultimately, of learning this beautiful Gemara to strengthen our ties of Avas Yisrael, to strengthen our ties of Dveikus in one another, and Halavai to be able to right the wrongs of the past. All right, so stop over here. Sorry, say it again.